are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, a family of faith is more than just a biological unit, right? It's a spiritual community bound by shared beliefs, love, and a commitment to God. And such families nurture faith, they support one another through challenges, and they serve as a reflection of God's kingdom on earth. Understanding what makes a family of faith can deepen our connection to God and each other. So we're going to be talking about what exactly that is, what makes a family of faith. And Pastor Chisala joins us on the line for the conversation. Pastor, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you making time to speak with us this morning. I trust you're doing well.
God has been good. God has been good. So far, so good.
Amen.
And happy new year.
Amen. Amen. Same to you. Thank you so much, Pastor. All right. So we're getting into a very, very interesting conversation. And I was just saying to the listeners earlier, because we just played a song speaking about Noah and his family getting into the ark. And I'm thinking that is such a beautiful way to get ready for such a conversation. Noah, who was able to save himself and his family, his entire family that was willing to obey God's voice and get into that ark. Mm. What are some of the key characteristics that define a family of faith?
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, definitely the family of, what Noah did was really quite exciting. I think that even after being in ministry for that period of time, you know, he was unable to save everyone, but sure. But at least he was able to save his family. Yeah. And I think that is what it entails to be a successful evangelist. If you can't convert the church, you can't convert the community, but one thing you can do is to try to convert your family, because that is your immediate, you know, congregation.
Amen.
All right. Yeah, so coming to the question, like, what makes a family of faith unique? I think it has to do with understanding the symbolism of a family. Mm-hmm. I believe that, for instance, when you look at husband and wife, you know, the Bible tells us that husband takes up the position of Jesus Christ in the home, and the wife takes up the position of the church. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we get from the book of Ephesians chapter 5. From verse 23, through up to 25.
Okay.
There is where it says that husbands ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church.
Mm.
So you see that husbands are encouraged to have Christ-like love for their wives. So in a family, it becomes important for people to understand, what they represent. So the husband has to understand that he represents Christ, and that the wife is a representation of the church.
Mm.
And because the marriage of husband and wife is actually a representation of the relationship that is there between Christ and the church.
Yeah.
So understanding that relationship is very important, because it then means that a family of faith understands that it is a family that reflects the relationship that is there between Christ and the church.
Mm.
And I think that understanding is what differentiates the family of faith from any other family, because the family of faith will understand that they represent the relationship that is there between Christ and the church. And this is something that you don't find in any other family, because these other families just take up their families as just social institutions, just like it's just a normal family where people have married and they're in a family. They've got cousins, they've got brothers, they've got sisters, and so forth and so on. So it's just a natural, it's just a normal family. But a family of faith is more than that, because it understands that it is connected to the relationship that is there between Christ and the church. And in fact, before I can move away from this point, I want to mention also that a family of faith is very unique, because the husband who is in the family of faith knows that he is a representation of Christ, and so he is a priest of the home. Mm-hmm. He is the pastor of the home. Mm-hmm. And he knows that the love he must have for his family is not just, for instance, like with a wife, it's not just a love that, you know, makes them like to come together. But it's a love that Christ has for that person. Mm-hmm. So in a family of faith, before before the husband can love the wife, you know, with what the Greeks would call eros love, there must first of all be agape love. And agape love is only love that comes from God. And if there is no God in the family, you don't expect agape love, no matter how successful that family may be. If there is no agape love, if there is no Christ, then there is no agape love in that family. The love that would be there might just be phileo love between the siblings and eros love between husband and wife. But then Christ may not be there, and then there may be no agape love. Mm. Mm.
That is powerful. That is really powerful. Because you find that the way people speak about marriage, for instance, you find people talking about how it's just a piece of paper. I don't need a piece of paper to legitimize, you know, my relationship. Or you find people who approach marriage simply from the perspective of, you know, the romantic aspect of it. Oh, it's I've seen it in the movies,
yes.
And it gives me butterflies in my tummy. It's something like that. And yet when you think about it in the context that you've placed it, which is as a representation of Christ's relationship with the church, you see that it goes beyond all of that. It's so much deeper than that. It is also so much more challenging than that, because it's no longer just about me. It's not about how I feel. It's not a feeling anymore. It becomes a doing word. It becomes a verb, the love that is expressed between husband and wife. So that, I think that that's a beautiful way to set apart a godly marriage and a faith family from other families, where it's simply two people, a man and a woman, who are simply fond of each other, which is okay. That's nice. You should be fond of your spouse. But it goes another level. It goes another level higher and another level deeper when we involve Christ in it, when we recognize that it's supposed to be that representation. But are we even capable of representing that relationship? It kind of feels like this is above our pay grade.
I like that question, because I think that's the real challenge that we need to address in marriages and in families. Mm-hmm. It's a real challenge, and I think once we understand that challenge, I've liked the way you have actually summarized this point. Once we understand that challenge, then we will know that marriage is more than the way we look at it, and that before we get into it, we must understand that we need first of all connected with Christ. I've always believed, and allow me to share with you that, you know, if ever there are people who really must understand the true meaning of marriage, it's those that have got an abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, because you see, marriage is spiritual. Family is spiritual.
Yeah.
It is a spiritual. It's not. It's more than social. It's more than romance. You know, as you earlier, you know, put it. It's more than that. It's spiritual, and I've always believed that if a man must get into marriage, or if a woman must get into marriage, they have to understand the biblical meaning of that. They have to understand that they are getting into an institution which requires God to be at the center. Because without God at the center in marriage, I'm telling you the truth, you may be together for a while, but sooner than later, things will begin to crumble. There is only one love that lasts forever, and that is agape love. So I think, are we able to get there? Yes, we can get there. It is possible if from the onset we begin with Christ.
Yeah.
And sometimes it could be possible that we might have just started this family like any other family. Mm-hmm. It is possible. But along the way, once we get to understand these things, we can change the trajectory of the family.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun this a good work in us, we will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So what can happen is that along the way, if you realize that, you know, your family did not begin with Christ, you know, it is still possible to call upon Christ. Mm-hmm. It is possible to restart your marriage in the context of of God. So I've seen marriages that have started on a bad note, but then end up on a very good note. Mm. So it is possible that a family that, you know, didn't start as a faith family, you know, can transition to a faith family by inviting Christ to come in. And I think the Bible tells us that, you know, Christ will in no wise cast away anyone who comes unto him. It is also written that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 1 verse 18 tells us, you know, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You know, Christ, that invitation is there. Yeah. So it is possible that we can get there as long as we are willing to heed to the call that, you know, that the Lord is giving us.
Amen. Mm. Amen. That's beautiful. So there's hope for everyone.
There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. And there is no need for people to despair. You know, it is possible. These things can be done. Mm. It's not about how the marriage started. It's not about how the family is in the current state. Yeah. But it is about willingness to hear what the Lord is saying and then be able to invite him. Then things can just take a different trajectory.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. And in what ways can families of faith serve their communities? How do we demonstrate Christ's love, not just, you know, to ourselves or to each other, but for the rest of the community to also see that this family is different?
Exactly. So, you know, the best way that the family can actually, you know, share its faith to the community is through its lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, just the lifestyle. A family, you know, a family lives in the community, and that family is known. That family is known. People around the community, they know what goes on, like in terms of how they handle themselves and things like that. The children who come from that home, you know, people know them. So in that kind of a setup, it may not be enough for the family of faith to simply share their faith with neighbors because they live in that community. I think what the neighbors want to see is if that family is able to live up to what they preach. Mm. So what I see to be very workable, to be highly workable in terms of sharing faith, is to live what that family teaches. Mm. Because evangelism, you know, is in many ways. We have got public evangelism, you know, we've got personal evangelism, we've got lifestyle evangelism. But in the context of a family, I believe lifestyle evangelism is the way to go. Mm. So the family must just make sure that it lives according to the principles of God. Then people will begin to pick it up. Maybe allow me to just share one small thought coming from, you know, how African, you know, families used to live, like the way they used to do it, for marriages, because there were a lot of arranged marriages. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they would consider is, if one family wants to pick a marriage partner for their family, they would look at the other families. And when they are looking at the other families, they would look at pedigree and character. That's what they would look at. How is the character of this family? And then from there, they would be able to, you know, to come up with some arranged marriage. So it is really the character of that family that will speak more than what they say. So I think that as families, let us live what we believe. Let us externalize our faith. Let our faith show in the way we conduct ourselves in the community. And then our actions will speak louder than our words.
Amen.
And also, once our character is in tandem with what we teach, then there will be power in what we are going to share with our neighbors. Mm.
Very true, very true. And what are some of the challenges that families of faith face today, and how can they overcome them?
Yeah, there's some of the challenges. There are many, and I stand ready to learn, to benefit from other challenges from other families. But the ones I know, it's where, you know, you are a family, but not everybody in the family believes in what you believe. Okay, you will have people within the family, yes, but then not everybody may believe in what you believe. You may have children in your family who unfortunately may not want to go the way that you are going. So you realize that, as a head of the family, you are pulling this way, but then the members of your family, some of the members of your family are also pulling the other way. Mm-hmm. That can be very challenging. That can be very challenging because when you then try to share the gospel with others, those who know some of those members in your family who are not in line with your faith, you know, then they'll say, you are telling us these things, but what about your son?
Yeah.
What about your daughter?
Yeah.
You know, and when people speak like that, really, you can be neutralized. You lose the strength because, what they're saying is true.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're trying to convert others, but you have failed to run your home. You know, so that one is, I see it to be a challenge that most of these families meet. And also when children from these families of faith, when they get to schools and they get to universities, they get to learn other philosophies and other ideologies that are not in line with those ones that you stand for in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And so they learn those. And when they come home, then they start challenging what you have believed in as a family, the values that you have espoused as a family, they begin to challenge them.
Yeah.
And that can be very, very challenging because now, they feel maybe what they've learned out there is better than what you have stood for in the family.
Mm.
So I think that is one of the challenge that comes with, families of,
yeah,
of faith. And also just the environments in which we find ourselves, the communities in which we find ourselves.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, if we are not strong as a family, we may not be able to change the communities because, you know, it's like you are few trying to change the majority.
Mm.
You know, the natural flow of things is such that the majority are likely to change you. You know, but then for you to move and to reach out your message to other members of the community who are many, that can also become, you know, a challenge. Yeah. So I think those are some of the challenges. But I believe that if we can stand with God, it is possible to overcome these challenges. I remember Isaiah who was able to stand and say, as for me and my family. Okay, that was Joshua. As
yes.
for me and my family, we will serve the Lord.
Yes.
And then Isaiah was able to say, my family, my children, my wife, we are for signs and wonders in Israel.
Mm.
You know, so no matter how much the challenge is, you know, we just need to keep standing and to keep upholding the principles of the Lord. And I believe that ultimately we can do it. I know of some families in the Bible, like the family of Abraham. You know, Lot was part of the family of Abraham,
mm-hmm.
but later on he left the family because apparently he had issues,
yes,
with the belief system. So he went and he found himself into Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham did not give up on him. Even when he was captured, he followed after him. Even when Sodom was about to be destroyed, he still pleaded with God for the salvation of Lot. So even if in our families we have people that have not believed in what we believe, you know, we can have that love that Abraham had for Lot. We can be praying for them. We can be supplicating for them. We can be interceding for them, believing that there is power in intercession. You could be a mother. I know many people are listening right now, and I just want to address that mother out there,
mm.
you know, who is almost giving up because yeah. maybe the child has just become something else,
yeah.
and they are wondering where the child has gotten that kind of behavior from. Like here in my country where I am, you know, we have got this problem of junkies where children are just... They are on drugs and then they just become rebels, both in the family and in the community. And they are always fighting, running battles with police. You know, there are children who have gone to that extent. And these are children coming from families.
Mm-hmm.
And we have mothers and fathers that are worried. But I just want to share with them that, you know, we can continue to pray. We can just continue to supplicate God. And in the fullness of the time, I believe that our prayers will be heard. God will hear and God will be able to do something. So we can continue to pray.
Amen. Mm. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Really appreciate your time and such a beautiful conversation. I trust that all the families out there are doing the right thing and making the right moves towards becoming families of faith and becoming that beacon of light in the community, that everyone can
look at
and see that example of godly love. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath ahead.
Blessings. Thank you so much. But please allow me just to share one more idea.
Please.
You know, the families, the church is a product of families.
Right.
You know, before we can be a church at church, we need to be a church at home.
Yes.
You know, in the family, that's where church is.
Mm-hmm.
So if the families are strong, if the families are full of faith, then we know that we have got a church that is also full of faith. And I also wanted to share that, you know, there are three things that God blessed from the beginning, you know, marriage, tithe, and the Sabbath. And all of these are being attacked by the devil. The devil is attacking the Sabbath.
Yep.
You know, even the mark of the beast to come in because of attacking the Sabbath. The tithe is being attacked. The families are being attacked. These three things are holy. So they are receiving so much attack from the devil. And our families are under attack. But I want to say that there is hope for our families,
mm-hmm.
because the Bible tells us that, you know, if God is the one who builds our families, they'll be able to stand. There is hope for the families of today. There are many examples in the Bible that show how dysfunctional families came together by the power of God.
Yes.
So let us not give up. Let us continue praying. And thank you so much for hosting me. I really appreciate it. And please, happy Sabbath. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.